Shalom, Mishpachah, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Ta-da, my dear, and since we always have some new listeners, I will translate that Shalom, Mishpachah means peace to our family. And you are indeed our family if Jesus is Lord over your life. And ta-da means thank you, because we are very glad you tuned into our program. As we also welcome the WINTRadio.com.
That's 101.5 FM radio out of Willoughby, Ohio, aired every Sunday morning at 8:30.
We also want to remind you that all our radio programs and newsletters are archived on shofarministries.net. Now, as it is our custom, let us begin by seeking God's blessing.
We praise you, O Lord, and thank you for our abundant provisions. We covet your presence in our lives and pray for the personal salvation of our unsaved loved ones. We lift up to you all believers who are right now suffering afflictions. Comfort them until their healings come. We pray that this program is pleasing unto you, and may it truly bless those who are listening today. We pray this in Yeshua's name.
Amen. So just a quick overview of what the Shofar Ministries program is about.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. We are non-denominational fundamental Bible believers, and besides praying for you, we usually report on any pertinent news that fits into the spiritual aspect of the end time scenario that we believe we are now living. Now, we've researched what our early church fathers taught about the scriptures, especially concerning the resurrection, the rapture, the Antichrist, the millennial kingdom, the church's wolves in sheep's clothing, using the literal application of scripture as well as searching the apocalyptic writings. We try to answer any question that comes into the ministry, especially concerning the end times. But most of all, God has placed it on our hearts to highly encourage personal Bible study. And we help stir you up to do that. And we help to do that by incorporating in a very balanced way our Jewish roots, which, while teaching actually against all forms of legalism.
After all, our faith was once referred to as Judeo-Christianity for obvious reasons.
It was, but it was lost for a while, beginning in the Dark Ages, but God has brought it back. Jesus was Jewish, and so was Peter. In fact, the Bible was 99% written by Hebrew people. So we think it prudent to have at least some knowledge of how they thought, their customs, and idiomatic phrases, which really helps to shine a light on some of the more difficult scriptural passages.
Yeah, we Westerners often comprehend things differently than those in the Middle East. You know that?
True. Also, it is very clear from John chapter 3 that we must be spiritually born again, and then, according to Romans 11, all true believers are grafted into the olive tree of Israel. And because of that, we partake of all of God's promises.
Yeah, you know, that's spiritually right now, but it becomes physically later.
It will, and it's the roots of this olive tree that supports the church. Without the roots of our Jewish forefathers, Christianity would not exist. So this program will help you recover your Jewish roots slowly, not overwhelmingly, keeping it easily understandable, we promise.
Maybe you could give them an example of that, like, let's say, Matthew 6.
Right. That's where Jesus says we are not to have an evil eye. Well, I always thought that meant you shouldn't angrily stare at anybody. But actually, it means not to be stingy.
And a good eye means that one is generous.
So anyway, you must not stay as babes, but grow always, as Hebrews 5 highly suggests we do, because it also brings discernment.
Highly lacking in today's society.
Even in the body of Christ. Sad, but true. And many who claim they are Christians seldom read his book. And you will meet the author someday, so don't you want to proudly say, hey, I read your book many times? So that's what we try to do, to stir you up, as Peter says, to better enjoy the Word of God. Because more Word, the more Jesus grows in you, which increases your faith. And boy, in these days, so much evil is encompassing us. We really need that power to fight wickedness in high places, just like Ephesians 6 says and opens our eyes to.
So are we doing any news today?
Well, there certainly is much news, but I've chosen to wait till next week so we can give a more detailed and spiritual perspective as we continue to connect all those dots to the obvious end time scenario. Also, we don't want to run out of time today with, we've got an important teaching that is very beneficial for our listeners to help in their witnessing.
Okay. We do welcome all of your comments and end time questions, either by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office. Leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll call you back, usually within 24 hours. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And your love offerings are very much needed and greatly appreciated. And we will be sure to include you in our monthly update. You can also donate on our webpage, ShofarMinistries.net, where you'll find our past radio and teaching newsletters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
A plethora of information.
Yes, indeed. Okay. I know you'd like to answer on the air the more frequent questions that come in, and this is a very, very high-ranking one.
Okay.
What do you say when witnessing about when Jesus himself said in John chapter 3 that you must be born again, and that he is the only way to the Father, but they don't believe the Bible is true?
Well, in this situation, you must begin at the beginning, because we're pretty much, we've all been there, actually. I certainly have been. Many years ago, I questioned the Bible's authenticity. So just admit that and just say, I know where you're coming from, because I wasn't always sure either, until I started looking for my own self at all the evidence.
And there's a ton of it.
So I would share just a few of the things that really started opening my eyes, but comment first on the other question most have of why are we here at all?
God made man to have a personal relationship with us, but you know, it's our choice.
Yes, that's why God gave us a free will. We really are here to make that choice, resulting in where we want to spend eternity, because God doesn't send anyone to hell. We ourselves choose to go there or to not go there because of our relationship with Christ. Now, for a while and before Moses died, God communicated directly to his righteous ones, you know, like Enoch, Noah, Abraham, etc., and finally told Moses to start a book for future generations. And God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, the Trinity, inspired Moses and told him what to write, letter by letter, actually, the important history with predictions for his people. And later, others would be inspired to write as well. And in the Gospel of John, Scripture says that Jesus is the Word. The Scriptures are supernatural, and the more of the Word you take into your spirit, the more of Jesus you will have.
And that's where the relationship gets stronger.
Right, and there's actually a lot, but three major ways to prove the Bible could only be directly from God through inspiration to man.
Prophecy?
Ah, yes, of course. Hundreds of things written in Scripture that would occur hundreds of years later.
You know, we speak much about these things, especially pertaining to the end time.
We certainly do.
We have archaeological proofs?
Yes, solid confirmational evidence of people and places written about in Scripture. Scholars have discovered literally hundreds of objects, inscriptions, and sites that confirm the accuracy of biblical statements. Let me give you an example. In northern Israel, they found a fragment of a stone inscription that clearly refers to the house of David and identifies David as the king of Israel. Also, a stone inscription from Egypt confirming that Israel was established as a nation in Canaan centuries before the reign of King David, just as the Bible claims, and hundreds more. Lots of picture books you can get on this as well.
Yeah, I try to remember, you know, just two or three, so, you know, I can always use them when the time arrives.
And it surely will.
And then we have science and medical confirmation.
Things written before that particular knowledge was ever evident. There are actually thousands of scientific statements in the Bible, and never has even one of them been disproved.
Yeah, as in Genesis 2:7, yeah. Written down thousands of years before we knew this.
Right, so let's talk about that today because it's pretty interesting. Moses wrote that God formed man from the dust of the earth. We now know, since NASA did an analysis of the human body, that the same elements that are in the dirt of the ground match the elements in us. And we did not always know about the huge currents pushing through the deep rivers far beneath the surface of the oceans that actually run opposite one above the other. This provides warmth to the north of the earth and is essential to refreshing the otherwise stagnant waters, constituting an essential part of the life system of our planet. Well, King David, approximately in 1000 BC, writes in Psalm 8:8, refers to how the fish of the sea pass through the paths of the seas. Now, how could he have known that but for God? Job in chapter 38 speaks of the deep springs of water at the bottom of the sea. Only in the last century have we discovered numerous huge springs of fresh water pouring out of the ocean floor. And this is really cool. Literally, in verse 30 of Job, he says, "The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen." Well, he's describing the Arctic ice caps. How could a man living in Saudi Arabia in ancient times know that, if not by God? And I love this. In Revelation 16:21, it reads, that part of the earth's judgment during the tribulation will be these 100-pound balls of hail falling from the sky. Ouch! Well, thousands of years before the book of Revelation was written, God, in the book of Job, asked Job in chapters 38, verse 22, if he has ever seen the treasury of hail, this hail that he has reserved for the time of trouble, which is an idiom for the tribulation. Well, I have some more truths that deal with the medical side in God's Word that has been there all along in the Bible and yet just recently discovered by the medical professionals. There are approximately 213 medical rules in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible written by Moses. And by the way, God, outside of his miracles, he does function within the normal limitations of natural law. And since Moses and the Hebrews came out of a very unclean Egypt, they needed definite guidance to keep healthy, because Egypt practiced some pretty awful and certainly unsanitary customs. Did you know the real reason the men and boys shaved their heads was because of lice? Toilets were just clay pots filled with sand. Whereas God told the Israelites to go out a ways and take a small implement like a shovel and bury all their excrements. And this is gross, but archaeologists have found medical scrolls written on papyrus from the area around Egypt dating back to 1500 BC that included about 700 how-to cures utilizing many herbs, but approximately 300 of them contained animal and human dung in their remedies. Yeah, believe it. It's just shocking, since E. coli is a major germ found in many infections. No wonder the mortality rate was dreadful in Egypt. But God told the Israelites in the Old Testament that if they turned from their sins and followed his commandments, that none of the terrible diseases of Egypt would affect them. God then gave them very specific instructions with sanitation procedures. I did not realize until recently that we ourselves did not discover germs till about 150 years ago. That's right. We did not know that invisible and deadly microscopic germs could exist and even travel through the air, as well as be transferred on eating and cooking utensils, and certainly medical implements. And that's why, up until around the 20th century, the same doctor would perform an autopsy in one room and proceed to the next room to deliver a baby and not even wash his hands in between. Yuck! But God, in His Word, 3,500 years ago in Leviticus 11, instructed that all metal pots and utensils be scoured and rinsed under running water, while discarding all cracked pottery. For we now know that microscopic germs can embed in the cracks that could be very harmful if ingested. The same rules applied to all booty taken from the enemy. He also taught them about quarantine laws that we didn't know about until the 1900s to avoid the spreading of germs, as in the case of Miriam's leprosy. Remember Moses' sister? She had to stay outside the camp for an extra 7 days, even after her sores were gone, to be sure of no contamination to others. And when a man dies in their tent, everything must be purified, including all vessels, with the ashes of a red heifer. Yes. Now we know that these ashes are a form of lye, L-Y-E, that kills bacteria, and so they used it in the temple to cleanse their sacrificial implements and containers. And they have a red heifer again now in Israel. So many plagues could have been halted in even my grandparents' day if biblical principles were followed. So don't tell me the Bible isn't inspired by God Himself. And this one is really amazing. God told Moses to circumcise all baby boys at 8 days old. Not six, not seven, eight. First of all, we now know that circumcision is more sanitary and that the biggest spread of AIDS is among uncircumcised males in the third world countries. But why the eighth day? Well, because blood clotting is at its highest in newborns on the eighth day and only the eighth day due to the higher levels of vitamin K and prothrombin that rise to its peak. And again, I said only on the eighth day, which just happens to be the number of Jesus, but that's for another show. Anyway, thus, they diminish the chance of infection or excessive bleeding, and then that vitamin K decreases continually to a stabilized point. Moses could not have known that, but for God. Today, we give baby boys a shot of vitamin K. Makes it a little easier, but who wrote the Bible? Let me ask you that, really. Mere man? I don't think so. You know, in Leviticus 17:11, God says that life is in the blood. Only 130 years ago did we find out the importance of that statement. Your heart pumps 1.5 million gallons of blood every year. 40 million pumps in a lifetime defeat 6 trillion cells along with 75,000 miles of veins, blood vessels, capillaries, and arteries in your body. Could this all happen by chance? No. David says in Psalm 139, we are wondrously made. And now with the discovery of DNA, it proves just that. Yep. Just the very tiniest of a cell in your body denotes everything about you, and why many scientists are now having to reject evolution, which, by the way, even Darwin before his death admitted was only a theory with many missing links. And by the way, one of the signs of his return, according to Daniel 12:4, is the explosion of knowledge. And boy, do we have it. There's no denying that. He is coming soon. Oh, so let me just say, there's much more evidence. Volumes are written to support the fact that there is a divine God who created us and gave us a manual for life. How sad. Many don't even read it and are willing to sacrifice their eternal life on the chance that the Bible is not the Word of God. Even though He does not expect you to come to Him on blind faith, and that's why He's given us all this evidence. There's plenty of evidence. There's many books that you can get on much more of this evidence. And in fact, the only religion that has proof galore is us, is the Word of God. And of course, we have a risen Savior. Again, I can't stress enough, He really is coming back, my friends. And then, of course, we have prophecy. Well, unfortunately, we're getting a little low on time, and that's going to take almost a whole program. So we're going to have to wait till next week to explore this vast area. And we do have a lot for you, believe me. You see, I know now that the Bible has passed the litmus test and has proven itself above all to be supernatural. It really is. Other religions, all of them, with their many books like the Quran and etc., they just don't cut it because they can't do it. And when they try, they are proven wrong. You know, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, God says, no one but He can predict the future accurately. And that is how we can test His Word. But sorry we got to go, but we'll have again much more next week. Please tune in. Tell your friends. But let me emphatically say that if you haven't truly and personally invited Jesus into your heart, get on your knees right now. Repent for your sins, especially those lingering sins that you have just a hard time with. And really mean it. It's humbling to be on your knees, so get on your knees. And even if you think you've already done it, do it again, just to be sure. Repent, ask Him to forgive you and reign over your life. And remember this, it doesn't matter what denomination you belong to, your religion in itself cannot save you. Only by His blood applied personally to your heart. Invite Him in. Say, Lord, I want to make sure that I'm spiritually born again. I want to serve You. You are my Savior. I believe in You. Friends, this world is coming to a close. It really is. So, you might have just heard this in the nick of time. But for sure, you don't want to miss that trumpet call. I happen to teach and believe in a rapture where He's going to remove the righteous before the final judgment comes, because Christ died on the cross and He took that judgment for us. If people don't want to take that, then they'll have to be judged and then they'll have to pay for their sins themselves. I have a Savior that took all my sins to the cross, and boy, am I grateful for that. So I want to leave you with the blessing from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, that true shalom that only He can give you. So until next time, sha'alu shalom, Yeruzalem, which is Hebrew for pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And by the way, don't forget to pray for our president. He really needs our prayers. The enemy is really strong and out to get him. So till next time, shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.